Hello and welcome to Resync, an Assassin's Creed podcast. I'm your host, Landon, joined, as always, by my co-host, Lucas.
How you doing, buddy? I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing swell. This is the least amount of time that it's taken us to get this set up. We got to the studio. Yeah, exactly. We're getting used to it a little bit, which I'm happy. You know, welcome to the official Season 3 premiere.
Oh, yeah, that's right. This is the first episode.
First episode in Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. We've got a new background for our video listener, watcher, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
You know, our video, we got a background, new background for the new game for, you know, the audio listeners. Again, we've been tinkering with the audio for the past, now like, what, month and a half at this point?
Yeah, I mean, for a while.
Yeah, because again, like I said, for those that didn't tune into the bonus episodes, you know, it's been a chaotic month of just setbacks and pushbacks and getting this new studio to work properly. So
yeah, the reason we're so late is mostly because of technical difficulties and a sleepy Landon. So
yes, yeah, that's completely accurate. Yeah, but we're here now. We're happy to be back for this first episode of Season 3. Thank you to everyone who's stuck around, for those on Patreon, to our paid Patreon subscribers. Thank you. But also thanks to the free people as well, because, again, we are posting the majority of our news and announcements over there on Patreon. So if you're not a member, either free or paid, definitely check it out over at Resync, patreon.com/resyncpodcast.
Yeah.
Cool stuff. But Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, we did it. We're here. We've played the first sequence. How are you feeling about this phenomenal game about an hour in now?
Well, I forgot how it just kind of takes off literally right where you left off. Also, the graphics. God damn.
Yeah, honestly,
I had like full reflections and shit, like, because I could turn it up all the way, obviously, because it's like super old. It's kind of fun doing it that way, though, because like you're playing it in almost the vision that the developers had for the game, because everything's max. Like, you're like, this is what they wanted.
Right, because I mean, obviously most developers even today still develop their games on PC and then scale down, obviously, for weaker PCs and then for the consoles. And so, yeah, having everything maxed out, you know, that is what the developers envisioned for the game. So it's always cool, you know, years later, if you didn't have a super tricked out PC at launch, you know, seeing what the developers intended.
Yeah, no, because like my Steam Deck could do it like lock 60 frames, everything up. So like,
did you test it on your Steam Deck at all yet?
So I got it to run. I just couldn't get it, the controller to work. And I was like not about to sit there and figure out what buttons did what on the keyboard and then map them out to the controller. I was just like, this is just taking too much work. And the community ones weren't working. So I was just like, whatever. I'm over it. I'm just going to play on my computer.
Fair, fair.
And it worked a lot better.
Yeah, for those that need a refresher or don't remember, he's playing on PC. I've been playing on Xbox this whole time. So I'm still playing on the Ezio collection because, you know, it contains two Brotherhood and Revelations. He had to do a whole another setup process because he couldn't get it to run on his PC originally. Well,
okay. Yeah. So I don't know what the issue was, actually, but there is something to be worried about when you are playing the game. There is an activation key. And you get that on Steam if you're playing through Steam. And if you're playing it through Ubisoft, you don't really got to worry about it. But if you're playing through Steam, you have to grab the activation key and throw it into the Ubisoft Connect like launcher, which is like important. Like I had to do that and like copy and paste it over there. But for me, I just had to uninstall it twice and reinstall it. And it worked the second time I reinstalled it. So I don't know. It just wouldn't launch for me. It would just close out.
I just hit play on my Xbox and then it worked. So,
yeah, but PC good.
See, the thing is, though, it looked even better for me because I was playing a remaster that didn't come out on PC. I will say, though.
I am curious to see how that compares, though, like the remaster to like max PC on like the original.
I mean, so like obviously there's a lot more like smoothness in like some of the textures have been bumped up. But as I mentioned back in Assassin's Creed 2, it's not a very good remaster because there's some areas that, like, instead of it being kind of a from the ground up remaster, there's just some things that they tinkered with. And there's other parts that show like it's an old engine. And so for one, and it's a lot more noticeable in Brotherhood because it has a much darker art tone than the first, like, or than two. The eyes look fucking weird. Like, they look like painting eyes, and it's just super glaring compared to the rest of the character models. And like, Ezio looks fine, you know, the main character models look fine. It's the supporting cast and the character models that they obviously didn't pay as much attention to just look super weird because they did this weird color grading thing for the remaster that kind of juxtaposes the kind of washed character model upscaling they did. I don't know how to describe it. I'm not like a super big, like, you know, developer expert, so I'm not sure exactly what tools they were using for the remaster. But it just makes for some wonky looking stuff.
Yeah, I'm still using, I was just locked it in at 1440 60 frames, and it was just running really well. It looked really good. The colors, like, I was actually really surprised at how well they had, like, the color grading and the reflections, like, how old that was. The reflections looked really good. I was like, dang.
Yeah. They definitely had a step up, which is kind of crazy you know, Brotherhood started as, it was going to be part of Assassin's Creed 2, but then they ran out of time, so they just split it into two games.
Yeah. Which,
the whole time I'm playing the first sequence, I'm thinking about just like, I mean, I'm sure they probably changed a bit of the plot to make it feel more full and make the ending of the second game feel more final, but I'm just thinking of like it being a part of Assassin's Creed 2 and just like, man, you just beat the shit out of the Pope, and now it's like still going. Like, you still got all this other stuff.
Yeah, the Pope's gone, and like, you let him live, all sorts of, you know, all sorts of fun stuff.
Right.
Did you notice that you got to that, like, at the beginning of the game, it was like your gear, like, that you ended with in two?
Well, I'm wondering if it didn't just automatically put on Altair's armor, because I think.
Did you have the sword? And yeah, like, I had the same dagger that I had too.
Well, I'm assuming that it just starts you off with the max gear everything. From the last game.
Okay, maybe it just has you with everything, and that's just what most people do. So it's just coincidental,
right? Because I don't think there's any connection. It would make sense with the Ezio collection since it's all in the same EXE technically, but with it, like, you know, the PC versions, like, they're not connected in any way. There's no file sync. So
that's kind of what I was thinking. I was like, that's pretty good technology. I mean, Mass Effect did it, but like, I think that was a little later.
Yeah, but it will usually notify you about that, about
I just remember seeing it that.
Yeah. So I don't think that's the case. I think it just, because I do think I remember that from back in the day. Like, even if you didn't get the armor of Altair, like, it'll still like act like you did for Brotherhood.
Okay. It's just like, it's just, we did everything. We did the canon.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah, the canon is 100%ing. But because also, you know, like in 2, you know, Maria doesn't speak unless you collect all the feathers. Yet in Brotherhood, she's just speaking.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's little things like that.
That was never resolved. It's like, well, it was.
Yeah, technically, you know, if you played the game like a real fan, then I collected all the feathers, which I already looked in the DNA because I've only beaten Brotherhood once, and same with Revelations. I replayed a little bit of Brotherhood, like, maybe a couple years ago, but I only played, like, the first two or three sequences-ish, but I've only played through the game once. It was a long time ago, so I don't remember a lot of, like, the collectibles and the deeper stuff. There's only 10 feathers in this game, so...
Oh, that's... Ooh.
There's, like, 80 Borgia flags or something, so, like, don't worry, there's still stuff. But yeah, I mean, there's only 10 feathers, so that's what matters to me.
That's a lot less feathers.
It's a lot less feathers than the 100. I think it was 100 from 2, something like that.
I thought it was 420.
No, that was the flags in the first game.
Oh, that was the first game flags that you never got your achievement for.
Ubisoft. I'll never forget. I want my trophy. I'll never forget. I don't care how big this is. Like, again, the goal, hopefully, you know, someday we make it big and we get some cool contacts with Ubisoft. Fun fact, I actually did have some PR contacts in Ubisoft that I was cool with back in the day, but they stopped responding to my emails, which is fair.
That's because, yeah, you weren't cool enough anymore.
Wasn't cool enough anymore, and I also just didn't commit to a lot of the stuff that I was doing with them. So, you know what? Fair. That's fair. But, you know, once we get back in good graces with Ubisoft, I'm not letting it go. I want my trophy. Anyway, I collected those flags. No, it's not my fault.
You should get a physical one now. Like, they should send you one in the mail.
Yeah. No, I'm not letting that go, Ubisoft. Ever. But anyway, also another thing I want to just generalize before we get into, you know, the nitty gritty of it is the combat is smooth.
Super smooth. I love the improved combat animations. It's way more Batman too. Like, I don't know if I need to turn the difficulty up.
Because there is no difficulty.
There is no difficulty.
Yeah. They didn't introduce difficulty options. I don't think until Origins.
Oh.
I think Origins was the first one to have difficulty options.
Oh, well.
Maybe even Odyssey.
I feel like this was a lot easier, not like in a bad way, but like, I don't know. I obviously it's going to get harder. This is the first mission. Right. Like, you could two shot people. But the combat felt like a lot more flowy, like Arkham did, versus like the last game when we played. You would hit somebody and it would kind of like almost stagger you or throw you out of position. Here, almost encourages you to do that flowy back and forth motion.
Right. Well, yeah, now they've got even once you build up enough of a combo ish thing, then you can start one shotting enemies.
Yeah, well, yeah, just kind of go. Pew, 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 pew. My favorite is when you just stab them in the throat. Go. Bah. Yep.
Yeah, no, they definitely improve the combat animations. Because, I mean, again, this was originally supposed to be Assassin's Creed 2. So outside of the whole Brotherhood mechanic that we'll eventually get into, you know, it is foundationally, you know, a lot of it's built from the first game. So they kind of had to be a little more nuanced in the new elements because this only comes a year after the game before it. And, you know, again, it was planned to be part of that game. So, you know, they had to come up with some nuanced ways to make it feel distinct since they are now touting it as a different game. And I think that's definitely a pro, a good decision from them to further increase, because they could have just left it, you know? They could have just left the old combat.
They definitely made it feel like they took the time to, like you said, differentiate it from 2. Like this is a step up. Don't worry, guys. Like, we didn't just copy 2 and extend it, basically. We actually did make it better.
Remember when Ubisoft would do that?
Yeah.
Those were the days.
No, Ubisoft used to be, my favorite gaming company until Black Flag. Actually, it was after Black Flag. Black Flag was the beginning of the downfall. Even though I don't like Black Flag, that was the beginning of the downfall.
Yeah, you know, to each their own. But, yeah, like I said, this is a really great game. It's fantastic. I mean, both of us have talked plenty about how it's up there. It's in our top threes. Again, it can be fairly interchangeable between Brotherhood and 2 as the best game in the franchise. I think 2, it's the same argument I have for games like Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom, and the Super Mario Galaxies, that there would be no 2 without the first one. There would be no Tears of the Kingdom without Breath of the Wild. There would be no Brotherhood without Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah.
But the things that it does add are just so fantastic, and it's just such a phenomenal follow-up to another phenomenal game that they are just very neck and neck. It's just more great stuff that doesn't feel like it's treading on familiar territory. It continues the story. I think the story is just ever so slightly weaker than the first. You know, at the end of the day, it is a smaller scale story.
It's definitely less complex too. The second game had a pretty complex story. Lots of major characters you had to pay attention to. This one isn't as intense with that.
Right. But then I feel like it has way cooler gameplay concepts.
Oh, yeah,
and, you know,
absolutely.
It tightens up the gameplay so much more. Even though the second's gameplay is such a legendary step up from the first one, this one just takes everything. Honestly, similar to, I know I'm talking about games that came out afterwards, but similar to how Tears of the Kingdom opens up Breath of the Wild's gameplay.
Yeah.
I feel like Brotherhood does the same.
It just polished what it had and made it
it polished, refined, yeah, you know, added on to again with this with the Brotherhood concept, and now you're taking control of cannons, and you know, in this first sequence the cannons already
were fun, yeah,
and you know, just adding cool, meaningful gameplay additions that don't feel gimmicky. That again, like they continue to evolve the franchise just a year after the last game, when it takes them now like 5 years to come out with a new one that barely does anything new. And so
yeah, I when I was playing Shadows, I still had the same jumping issues off of like wrong way that I had in the first game. How have you not fixed that? It's been like 20 years.
Well, fun fact, they're actually doing that. They've actually had multiple parkour updates since.
Oh. So. Oh, well, good job.
that's one thing. Again, we can, you know, debate kind of how far Ubisoft has fallen and their issues, of which there are plentiful, but at the end of the day, one thing I will always give Ubisoft credit for compared to a bunch of the other AAA devs that are still around is that they've been committing a lot to fixing their games. They're still updating Skull and Bones. Who the fuck cares about Skull and Bones? Ubisoft does. They're still trying. And, you know, they're supporting all these games still. They just came out with Siege X.
When I was playing the cannons, I was like, why does Ubisoft always just want to be a pirate game?
There's a lot of pirate fans. Like they
added,
in Ubisoft.
They added boats, and now they're adding cannons, and then in 3 they add all of the boats and cannons, like they add them together, and then 4 that's just a giant boat, and then they're like, yeah, they just wanted to be pirates.
Well, yeah, you know, that's ARG, you know. But like I said, I do appreciate Ubisoft's commitment to trying to make their games better. It wasn't always there. There was a period, I think the previous generation, you know, like the Xbox One, PS4 era was not a thing, you know, like Unity's mostly fixed, but there's still a couple things. Like they did not put in near as much time with Unity as they did with games like Star Wars Outlaws or now Assassin's Creed Shadows and Skull and Bones. There's another Ubisoft game that they kind of, For Honor. I mean, shit, no one cared about For Honor when it came out, and now people are still playing that game.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been, I think this year's 10 years. It's either this year or next year. It was 2016 when For Honor came out.
I hate For Honor, though. That game is horrible.
But, I mean, same thing with Siege. Siege flopped out the gate. They saved it. Like, Ubisoft has probably had more recoveries than any other AAA game dev. Like, their games, like, almost always flop now, but they bring them back from the brink every time, almost.
I swear to God, if I see Skull and Bones, like, a top 10 game of the year in, like, 10 years, I'm going to be so pissed off.
So I'll give them that. I'll give them that. I just wish they would, you know, come out with a polished game at the start.
That would be cool, because, you know what? Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, polished game.
Exactly. They didn't have to touch it. But, you know, it was a much smaller company with a lot less hands in the pot back then. And I think that's gaming's biggest issue now. But it's a whole nother conversation. Anyway, let's get into it proper. 18 minutes in.
Yeah, almost 20 minutes of intro for that. That's fun.
Well, you know, like I said, it's a brand new game. It's a brand new season. We got to set the setting a little bit here. But we start out very beginning of the game. I get a recap of the first two games, you know, setting the scene, because for some people it might have been at least a year since their last foray into the Assassin's Creed franchise. For us, it's been about 2 months now-ish.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there when we finished Assassin's Creed 2.
Longer than it should have been, though.
Longer than it should have been, but, you know, and shit happens. But after a recap of the first two games, we jump into this battle between two armies just out of nowhere, where Ezio attempts to assassinate this mysterious man who, if you know, watched the bonus episode last week for Assassin's Creed Ascendants, you will know as Cesare Borgia.
Yeah.
But he fails. Like the entire first sequence, this man's name is not mentioned. Technically, if you hadn't watched that short film,
yeah, you would
have no
is.
Idea who this guy is still. We just know he's one of the Borgia. But, yeah, he's not named this entire sequence, but start to assassinate this mysterious man, says that Mario Auditore sent him, which we understand a little bit of the significance of later on in this sequence, but, you know, fails to assassinate this man, but then very quickly you just get taken out. There's the first QuickTime event in the entire Assassin's Creed franchise, which scared the shit. I felt it in my nuggets when I launched it because I was like, I had my notes out. And then I was like, I don't know. I feel like there's going to be something I'm going to have to interact with here. And so I was like going back and forth on whether I should hold the controller. And then I was like, you know what? Nah. I set my controller down. I take my notes. I'm sitting here. And then I see that X pop up. And I'm like, God damn it. And I go to like fucking grab at my controller to like start mashing. I knew it was I felt it in my bones, even though I was like, there hasn't been a QuickTime event ever. Well, I guess there kind of been. There's been like the press like, X, like, but you haven't had to mash anything.
You haven't had to do a mash. You've gotten the hug Leonardo, but.
Right, like hugging Leonardo, the little thing where you had to assassinate people a couple times.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
But, you know, the first real QuickTime event happened, so fun. But, yeah, the, outside of that, you know, pulls you out. The you know, Desmond's like, what the fuck's going on? You know, the Animus recalibrates, starts flashing Minerva, you know, all kinds of weird stuff there. And then it just goes back right where two leaves off. And, you know, Minerva, like, you know, again, for those that are a little fuzzy, Ezio opened this huge, you know, vault underneath the Vatican where the first civilization pops out. And there is a god who's not really a god, but this precursor civilization to humans, you know, just says, hey, what's up? You know, the world's going to end or there's going to be this huge calamity a long time in the future. And Desmond, you got to figure it out. Now you got to find these temples and stuff. And Ezio's just sitting there like, the fuck are you talking about, man?
Yeah, like, who are you looking at? There's nobody here, dude.
But yeah, it experiences the whole thing and then disappears and everything goes away. And so, you know, Ezio exits the Vatican or this like temple area.
Yeah.
And then, you know, essentially he leaves to the Pope gone. His robes are laying there. Cause you know, he spared the Spaniard and then he sees the staff of what is the Pope.
I forget what the name of that staff is.
Yeah. Whatever the fuck this holy staff.
It's a piece of Eden basically.
Yeah. It's now descending. It's being sucked into this thing and the whole thing.
He's trying to grab it. He's like, right? Don't go.
Yeah. But the whole thing just, it kind of gets swallowed up and then the whole room kind of just rearranges itself and then Mario shows up.
Yeah. He's like, what's up? It's a me, Mario. He doesn't say that, but he should have.
Yeah. You know, one time's enough, I guess. But, you know, he shows up. He's like, you know, one man against an army couldn't let you do it alone, even though we did do it alone.
Yeah.
He shows up for the aftermath.
Yeah. He shows up after we did all the work and he's just like, oh, I'm here to help. And it's like, bro.
I mean, he does help us escape, but yeah, he shows up, you know.
He helps us run away.
And so, yeah, we fight our way through the streets of Rome to escape, and, you know, a little bit of an intro sequence. And, you know, we end up giving the piece of Eden to Mario to hold on to while they figure out what they want to do with it. The staff is safely locked away in the Vatican, allegedly, you know. Who knows? Like, that's the thing. Like, they don't know. Like, maybe there's, like, a secret passcode that can just pop it right back up. They don't know about it. They just assume that it's now locked away in the Vatican. Interesting, I guess. Which I've noticed there's a couple plot conveniences here in this first sequence.
Oh, yeah.
Like, later on, like, Ezio never really justifies why he doesn't kill the Spaniard. You know, at the end of the second game, he's like, you know, like, there's been enough bloodshed. I'm done with this. But then later on when they're talking to everybody and Machiavelli's like, oh, why didn't you kill him? He's just like, it doesn't matter. What's done is done. Like, no, I kind of want an explanation. Like, it's a fairly valid point.
They spent the last, why didn't you?
Yeah, they spent the last like 19 years going after this guy all of a sudden to just not do it. And you've got nothing for it. You're just like,
Ezio's like, I'm going to be a bigger man. And then Machiavelli's like, well, I'm out of here because this does not sound like a good thing.
He's like, I'm going to Rome right now. Fuck that guy. So anyway, jumping ahead a little bit, but, you know, it's a little weird. And so, like I said, they fight through Rome, they escape, and they go back to Monteriggioni. So for those that remember the timeline, you know, the second game ends in 1499 in Rome. Now we're in 1500 in Monteriggioni, the time it took to, you know, transition to the next year. The trivia question for this week, fun fact, is that instead of just giving the year now, Brotherhood goes as far as to give us the month of the year. So it's getting a little more detailed with the timeline here. My question this week is, what month is it when they get back to Montrajoni? So I told you we're in 1500 now, but what month? That is my trivia question for this week. Answer down in the comments. So if you're watching on YouTube, you can head over to Patreon. If you are not one of those people, if you're one of our listeners, patreon.com/resyncpodcast. And you can answer the trivia question in the comments below. But yeah, fun times. And so they get back to Montrajoni. Ezio gets a hero's welcome, you know.
Yeah, he's like, hey, Ezio.
Yeah, they're riding in on their horses, and he's discussing what he found underneath the Vatican. And they're kind of just, like, wrapping everything up. They're like, all right, I think everything's cool now. Like, they're basically like, what if this is it for us? And Mario's like, you know, he's the older guy. He's like, you know, I think that's cool. I think we've done our part. You know, I'm okay with that. Whereas you kind of feel like Ezio's kind of left wanting a little bit, you know, like he's got this whole thing plopped on him. But I mean, he's had his fair share of battles. I think he's fairly content with not having to, you know, engage in any more wars. But he's still kind of just a little bewildered by what he's seen and kind of like, I mean,
imagine seeing like basically a moving painting or something. Because like,
yeah.
Because like, yeah, they don't know what the word hologram. Yeah, like they don't have the word for hologram. Like they're just, it's just like it was a painting that moved and it was just like 3D and shit.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, how do you explain that? And so yeah, but they're getting back to the villa, and you know, almost get taken out by a cannon, of which Mario's like, oh yeah, we installed those a few days ago. Actually,
he's just laughing about it.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, man, they suck at aim. Or yeah. They're just testing it. We'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll be fine. We'll revisit that later. But enter the villa again, get that whole hero's greeting. Claudia greets them, who says that Katerina, the Contessa of Forli, is waiting for him.
Oh, wow.
As well as a bunch of others that are eager to hear about what all happened in Rome. And he's like, all right, give me a minute. I intend to give Katerina a few minutes. A wink, a wink. And then you're off doing some fetch quests for a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know why, just to like refamiliarize you with Montrajoni or something. I don't really know.
Yeah, I think they're just hiding a couple, you know, tutorial things in there, you know, like, showing you how to do a couple
things. You can
things.
Carry boxes.
Yeah, you can carry stuff.
You can mount a horse.
Different things like that. And so canonically, the first thing Ezio does is help out this damsel in distress, who he flirts with very hardcore.
Yeah, he's hardcore flirting.
Carries flowers for a party, which he pries and figures out, oh, is actually a surprise welcome home party for him.
Yeah, for Ezio. And he's just like, she's like, Ezio Auditore himself would be like impressed by you. And he's like, oh, yeah.
Yep. And it's like, yeah, this party's for Claudia and, you know, everything. He's like, oh, and Claudia's like, yeah, Ezio's a little distant. And he's like, yeah, I have been. And she's like, oh, fuck.
Like, womp.
And then he goes, you know, I could keep this a secret if you have something to offer. And she goes, oh, I have all kinds of things to offer you.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah, not tonight, though.
Because plot conveniences.
Yeah.
Anytime someone needs to hold something off for the next day in Assassin's Creed, that means something big is going down that night.
I was like, oh, I'm not seeing her tomorrow.
And so, you know, they make a little sex contract and then they bid farewell.
Yeah. Like tomorrow. As long as, you know, the castle's still here.
Yeah, you know, as long as nothing bad happens. So in the next 24 hours, then, you know, he gets some poontang. But next up, Ezio runs into with his stable master, who's very upset because Mario's going to kill him because he lost his favorite horse.
His favorite horse.
Who just happens to coincidentally run past right after that conversation.
Yeah, literally right after that. And then, like, I was having issues doing it, and he literally just kept running back and forth. Like, he'd barely move.
Just go
like,
back and forth.
Yeah, he'd just go back and forth. He wouldn't, like, run around or do anything. He'd just run back and forth.
See, for me, he immediately ran into a signpost and then got stuck there. So I just went up to him, got on immediately, and then just put him right back. Yeah, like it was like a 10-second mission for me.
Well, for me, it was like 20-30. Like it didn't take me. It was just like right? I missed like the B, and then he ran off. I was like, ah, goddamn it! And it took me like a few tries, but then I got it back to him.
Oh, yeah. It wouldn't let me mount him for the longest time because, like, I would go up to him and it didn't give me the mount option. So I'm just mashing B as I'm walking.
Yeah, that's what happened to me. I was just like, why can't I get on top of him?
Mm-hmm. I think you have to be, like, directly behind him or something. It wouldn't do it from the side for me. I don't know.
I wonder if they just wanted you to chase him around. They're just like, you have a timer. You can't do this for, like, 15 seconds.
Right? Literally. But, you know, so yeah, it's fairly simple, like, return quest. And so Ezio catches up to it, returns it to the stables, where the stable master is like, yeah, you know, I'm an old fart.
Now I'm
can't
not
going to
die.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, make sure you're not pushing yourself as hard as Mario is doing all them battles. And Ezio's like, ah, you know, I'm done with that life.
He's like, I'm chilling
wink,
now.
Wink, wink. Foreshadowing much. And so finally, canonically, the last thing he does is observe the new cannons, goes up to the raptors and, you know, checks them out, in which case the soldiers are claiming that they're malfunctioning. So as
he's like, yeah, he's like, the buffoon who mounted these things sucked.
So he's like, all right, we'll go find
let's go find who mounted these things.
So, you know, you hunt down the engineer who's just chilling in a dark corner.
I'm sleeping. Or not. I don't know what he was doing. He was just like a cat.
He's like, I don't do stuff till noon. And it's just like, do you know what time it is? He's like, I don't make clocks. I make cannons. And so, you know, get him up. He's like, well, the soldiers are tinkering with it. And that's when he gets into action. He's like, no one touches my babies.
Yeah, not my cannons. I just want to know, was he drunk as shit? Or do you think he was just like weird? He sounded kind of drunk to me.
Por que no los dos? Who knows?
Or
maybe
both.
He's a drunk weirdo. You know, he's celebrating. You know, he made some cool cannons and now he's relaxing. They didn't make him right. So, you know, you escort him back. He's talking about this revolutionary French hand cannon. He's like, can you imagine when, you know, Ezio literally has a hand
cannon?
Has
one of his reactions.
Right,
like, he's like, man, I can just go pew right in your head.
Which I thought was funny. But, you know, he's talking about this new technology that's going to launch us into the future and all that. Meanwhile, Ezio has this ancient technology that's been around for seemingly forever, I guess. I don't know.
He's like, I've seen some pretty crazy shit. How's that water?
It's pretty yummy. Yeah. Nice and crisp. Still got some ice in it.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Yeah,
I put like 2/3 ice over there. Whoa, 2/3 ice in there.
He did some McDonald's icing.
Yeah, I did, but that's only because it melted so fast last time. I thought I put a bunch in there last time.
Yeah.
Sorry, this has nothing to do with Assassin's Creed, but...
But, you know, so he brings over the engineer, and the engineer's like, you guys are fucking it up.
Like, he's like, why are you firing it? They're not ready yet.
Touches it for 5 seconds, and then suddenly it's fine, I guess.
Yeah, he literally, like, he opens up the door and doesn't even, like, do anything, and he's like, okay, it's good. And it's like, what?
And then you get to test it out. You get to shoot at some dummies.
Yeah, you get to blast.
Destroy some statues. Just, you know, getting rid of some timeless art because it doesn't matter, I guess.
Just pew, 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 pew.
But yeah, you test out one cannon. He's like, all right, let's test out the other one. And you're like, all right, that's enough for me.
Yeah, like, I don't need more cannon right now. It's like, I got the gist.
And so you bid him adieu as they go and finish their cannon testing. And then they talk about doing it at dawn, which, like, why are you testing these loud-ass explosives?
Yeah, like,
run
the boy.
Like, you're telling
me
nobody sleeps in?
Maybe they just were too focused on survival back in the day. So, just, like, they had to be up early.
I guess. But I thought it was very rude. Like, why not wait until midday?
That's
kind of
what I was thinking, though, too. Like, what if I wanted to sleep in?
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you're telling me nobody has the day off around here?
Like,
no one wants to be able to sleep in?
I bet Ezio wanted to sleep in.
Yeah, I'm sure he did after what he was trying to do. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, so Ezio, after that, finally goes back to the villa where Katarina waits.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet, sweet Bushka.
I wonder what she's waiting for.
Yeah, and so she actually does stand on business for a second. She proposes an alliance between Monteregione and Forli as they're getting, you know, they're having some patrol people coming up close. And he's basically like... Probably, you know, but I'm not worried about that right this second. We'll talk about it later, but most likely, yeah. So kind of gives her like a tentative yes, and then heads in where Machiavelli, Mario, Claudia, his mother, and all of them are waiting to, you know, hear his regalious tales of Rome and the Vatican and beating the shit out of the Pope. And so, yeah, he fills them in, and they, like, about this crazy, again, like, moving painting that he saw of this goddess who literally says she's not a god, but he still refers to her as a goddess.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then they're like, is she human? And, like, well, she looks like it, but she's very obviously not.
Yeah, he's like, he says that their people died a long time ago.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, talks about this person, Desmond, which was another thing I was thinking about. You would think that, like, his name, like, Desmond's name would be legendary among the Assassin's Order.
That's because you're telling me, like, they aren't spreading this?
Yeah, exactly. Like, how do they not know? Like, there should be some sort of recognition, like, that, like, the Assassins and the Templars at this point should know to, like, keep out for a man named Desmond.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't brought up.
Maybe
they
did. Maybe that's why they abducted him.
But he was subject 17. He was the 17th person they abducted.
Maybe they didn't know? I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. This is another little weird thing.
Yeah.
But, oh well. So, yeah, they're bringing up Desmond. They're bringing up all this other stuff. He's filling them in. And then, you know, Claudia brought up when he first got back to the villa, is the Spaniard dead? And he's like, I'll explain later. And then Machiavelli's like, all right, the Spaniard's dead, right? And he's like, actually.
No, he's not. I did not kill him. And he's like, why? He's like, yeah, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
We'll
just focus on the now, brother.
Yeah. And then he's pissed. He's like, you know, this is fucking stupid. Yeah. I'm going to Rome right now. Fuck you.
He's like, I'm out of here. He's like, this is not looking good.
So he runs off. He storms out.
Yeah, he's pissed.
And Mario's basically like, hey, don't worry about him. You know, we did it. The battle's won. Everything's okay. And then they break off, and Ezio turns in for the night. Gets himself a little bubble bath.
Yeah, he's getting all bathed up.
And then someone, you know, decides to join in for a little bubble bath.
Yeah, she just like appears in the door and just takes off her clothes. It's just like, okay.
And then they do it.
Yeah.
Because every good Assassin's Creed game starts off with some scootily pooping.
And it was some like long ass cutscene there. I was like, Jesus, this is like a little long here.
Well, again, I mean, this generation's the first one that really had some like long cinematic cutscenes. Like you saw like a few.
Yeah, it was
in,
just like
the PS1 era, PS2. But like, you know, this is the first one where they could actually make some like legit like realistic cutscenes. So I think this was some engine flexing on Ubisoft's part.
Yeah, because it almost felt like a movie or a TV show like scene. Uh-huh. Like it was just like, this is like they're cutting, they're doing all like these like different like camera angles. Like it's just like, geez,
all these different positions, if you know what I'm saying. But yeah, they get it on. They get freaky. Which for those that watch the bonus episode about Assassin's Creed Renaissance, the novelization of Assassin's Creed 2, they go into much more detail. Like they have, you know, him and Katarina, they have much more of a romantic relationship in the novel. So I'm curious if that's why they're pushing this a little more, because they were basically just flirtatious in Assassin's Creed 2. There was no actual like, you know, implication that anything happened between them. So it's interesting that now they're just going right into it. And so I'm wondering if they're taking cues from the novelization or not, or trying to make that a little more canonized. I don't know. But it was interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, they're shagging. And right as they get ready for round two,
explosions.
They're under attack. The Borgia have begun their counterattack on them. They want blood. And so the Monterigioni is under attack. I mean, a cannonball goes through his bedroom.
It is like under attack.
They're under a siege, you know, and Ezio, he like at first he dismisses it. He's like, oh, they're testing shit. And then the cannonball flies through his bedroom and he's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, immediately destroys his armor. He doesn't even suit up.
Well, yeah, he like
the cannonball,
you know,
thing blasts his armor. So he just puts on some clothes and like takes a shitty sword. He's like, all right, I guess I'm going to go kill him.
So I had the Draken armor equipped. It was the special like Ubisoft reward thing. It looks sick as fuck. And so it was funny because like he was technically in his PJs, but for me, he had full armor on. But then it like got rid of everything. And it didn't show that he had just the clothes on until like the very end of one cutscene. And so like the whole time, like, but it would like it like popped in and out of him having like clothes and not
That's
clothes.
That's funny. That's yeah. funny.
But so yeah. he looked like he was fully armored for me the whole time. And then I forgot, like, once it like it swapped to him being in like his pajamas, that I was like, oh yeah, he doesn't actually have any armor on technically.
Yeah, it's because it got destroyed and
yeah, just got a cannon on it.
Yeah, and did you notice like as you were like kind of running, like you were losing items?
Well, yeah, I noticed once, yeah, you started running through the ramparts, they were saying, like, that you lost the Sword of Altair and, yeah, all this stuff. Just crazy things. You're, again, because, like, the first sequence, obviously, you're super strong. You know, it's falling off the second game. And then it's got to reset you a little bit. So yeah, this is the resetting moment. Yeah.
You can't be all powerful through the second game, apparently.
Yeah, you can't just get more powerful.
At least they don't, like, reset your skills. Like, you can just, like, your weapons suck.
Right. But, you know, so you burst out through the rooftops. You don't even take the stairs. You're just here on the roof and, you know, more cannonballs start flying. You're dodging and then you meet up with Mario, who's like, it's the Borgia. They're attacking. You know, we've got to get the people out of here. It's full
like,
defense
gotta
mode right now.
We got to keep the apple safe. Like, we got all the, yeah, this is bad.
Yeah, they're just full defense. Like, they're over here getting woken up in the middle of the night. Like, I guess dawn, kind of. And so they're all just in, you know, panic mode. Like, all right, whatever we got to do, get the people out of here, like, figure it out. And so Ezio heads for the ramparts. He's going for a frontal assault. And, you know, he gets up and mans the cannons. And so his, you know, your objective is basically to disable as many cannons as you can while the people get out.
Which, honestly, I failed the first time.
I also did.
You had to, like, get on those cannons, dude.
Yep. You could not miss. You had to be just boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, like, I was doing, like, multi-shot, like, making sure I was getting
right,
multiple cannons.
Right, put it in between
yeah.
two, yeah.
Well, and then the ones on, like, the, when you ended up switching the cannon, like, you could hit, like, three at a time at the other side. Like, you got
right.
at the right
you
angle.
You could barely fucking see them shits.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was trying to figure out, I'm like, where the fuck are they?
But, yeah, that was, like, and I still barely passed, like, that second time. Like, I was, like, it was, like, neck and neck between, like,
right.
the people escaping and...
Oh, yeah, which I think it is meant to be close, but, yeah, it's a tight time frame you got to hit there in order to get everybody
And apparently
out.
Don't focus on the towers. I was shooting down the towers because, like, oh, no, they're gonna get close and, like, all the shit, but, like, apparently don't do that. Apparently shoot the cannons.
So, yeah, you're shooting, yeah, you're getting rid of the cannons, you're trying to help the people escape, you barely get enough people out in time before, you know, the towers start approaching, and then soldiers are on the ramparts.
Yeah, and then soldiers do get there, and they're like, go get them, we gotta get them.
Yep, and then you get in some more combat, some more, you know, hand-to-hand, like, sword-to-sword combat. That's where you learn to, like, kick people, which, God, that's a godsend compared to the first one, because, you know, those agile guys... Like, the only way to really trigger them in the second game is to taunt them, but this way you can just knee them in the crotch, and then, you know, all of a sudden they're staggered. God, that's lovely. I love that. And so, you know, you're whacking on some people, just really mowing them down.
Be able to kick those guys is so nice.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, because outside, like I said, you had the one thing where you would, like, throw sand in their eyes if you're doing hand-to-hand combat. Or you just, again, you've got, like, the taunt, which just takes up so much time to do that. Whereas this is just such a quick, like, boom, and then you just keep going. It helps the momentum a lot better. Definite improvement over the last game.
Yeah, they definitely wanted you to have that flow feeling. Like, they didn't want you to feel like your combat was being interrupted by, like, animation or stuff like that in this game.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. Like I said, we've talked about the combat being improved overall, but I'd say it just flows a lot better now compared to the second game. And so I appreciate that.
Always, always appreciate good combat.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you're fighting off all these people, but at the end of the day, the Borgia enter the villa. It's too late. You know, you see this mysterious man that we saw in this flash forward come out with... Mario on the ground. They've captured Katarina, and he gives this small speech basically saying, you know, hey, there's been blood on both sides. This is, you know, a bit of a nasty situation we've got ourselves into, and so, you know, I'm gonna end it right here, right now. You know, let's just end this blood between us. I'm gonna kill your uncle, and then I'm pretty sure, am I assuming correctly, that Leonardo made that gun for him, because he says bring out the gun that his friend made.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that would have to be Leonardo.
That's how I took it.
Like, I mean, those weren't like a thing
it's like
yet.
A long, like, French rifle almost, like that it looked like. But so I think Leonardo made that gun for them, which
I mean,
it was probably forced,
makes sense, like,
or like they didn't realize who he was making it for. Like,
I mean, we'll probably learn more about that. So
right. But yeah, it takes out this super, honestly, just really sick looking rifle. I'm not gonna
lie. It does
like,
look
it was
nice.
Cool.
It was nice.
Cool,
I mean,
so.
It was designed probably by Leonardo da Vinci. So like, what do you expect? Know? That man just likes how things look.
Right. And so, you know, Ezio's distracted looking at this whole scene. Meanwhile, there's riflemen on the ramparts zoning in on him, and he's watching as he just takes a long rifle to Mario's face and just...
And then he also gets shot
at
basically
at the same time.
Like, the same, almost sounds like the same shot.
And it was right when he got shot that all of a sudden his armor switched to pajamas for me. Like, literally just mid, like, it has it on him. He had armor, and then he gets shot, and all of a sudden it's just... Because I think they didn't animate the blood on all the other armor, so they had to show the blood. So he just all of a sudden just switches to pajamas right when he gets shot.
It's funny. It was like, oh, that was a weird bullet.
Just made his armor disappear. That's crazy. So yeah, you know, he gets shot in the shoulder and plops down as he loses his uncle, one of the few family members he has left.
Yeah, who he liked.
Yeah. And so, you know, he wakes up fairly shortly after, you know, gets some mercenaries to fight with him as he fights his way back to the villa
to try
to escape with, you know, the little he has left. And so he takes the secret entrance that goes down to the, you know, where he got the armor of Altair, which also happens to have a secret exit out north.
Yeah, that was also super convenient. It's like, that wasn't there before. Maybe they added that, or like maybe it was just there and they discovered it, but...
Well, I'm trying to think, wasn't that there when they first showed off the place in 2? Because don't you exit through that grate, like in that cutscene? You can't do it ever again, but can't you just like exit out that way after Mario first shows you it?
No, because you just go back up the stairs.
You just go back upstairs. I couldn't remember.
Because you couldn't open up that door that it's even that path was out until you got all the seals.
Copy. Gotcha. So, well, I mean, you know what? Shit happens. It was just, you know, you didn't know about it. You didn't realize it. It's a thing. But, you know, his mom and his sister are still safe. And so he gets him and the rest of the town people out safe. And, you know, they're asking about Mario. And he's like, Mario's dead. I'm, you know, you guys go back to Firenze. I'm going to Rome. And, you know, his mom's like, you know, kill them bastards.
Yeah, get them. Destroy them all.
Yep. And so once again... Ezio is now on a quest for vengeance.
Yep.
Literally, like, days, maybe months after, you know, he just got done
just
with
got
this
his revenge.
Past quest.
Like, that took, like, 30 years, and he's just like, well...
Here we go again.
Time for more revenge. He's basically like John Wick.
Pretty much, yeah. Ezio's just, you know, Venetian John Wick. Renaissance Wick. But...
Renaissance Wick.
And so he goes off on this quest, but, you know, he is still shot. And so he's riding on this horse, and soon his wounds catch up to him, and he just passes out and falls off the horse. And that is the end of sequence 1. Not a great start for our Ezio.
Yeah.
Just continuing to be shat on in all his
years.
Yeah,
and you just lost everything again, so that's fun.
Back to nothing. Montrejoni is overrun. You know, everyone's scattered, and he's lost everything. Everything that he's built. And that's the end of the first sequence.
Yep. So looking forward to building back everything again.
Yep. Going to Rome, getting to see all that interesting stuff, a lot of interesting and cool stuff up ahead. But yeah, one sequence in, how are we feeling, buddy?
I'm enjoying it a lot. Like I said, I'm super impressed with the graphics still. Like, I know I keep talking about them, but I'm just like, man, this is a huge step up. Like, everything looks, like, super clean. I can actually run at 165 frames at 1440 versus, like, the other games. Like, I couldn't run past, like, 90. And, like, the first one, I couldn't run past 30 because, like, the physics were locked, like, to it. So, like, if it wasn't timed right, you would die on certain, like, KO bills. But... Yeah, the graphics looks good. Everything just looks so polished from the second. I just was immediately just like, man, everything just looks like the second game, but just like way better. Like the cinematics like of the second game.
Right. Like, well, and again, with such a quick turnaround time too. Mm-hmm. Like just how streamlined development was back in the day, back 15 years ago, almost.
Yeah.
You know, we're about 14 and a half years later.
And that game is optimized. I mean, I guess it's hard to tell how optimized it is with just because of the powerhouses of hardware we have now. But, like, it looks like it was optimized, at least, from what I can tell. Like, it looks like it would have ran really well on basically anything. Probably not max, but, like, it would have ran really well on basically anything.
Right. And I mean, granted, you know, this is a very linear sequence, but, you know, I didn't run into any sort of issues. Granted, I'm running it on the Ezio collection, which is a remaster, but still, I mean, again, a lot of the building blocks of the game are still from the original files. And so, you know, very smooth, very crisp. Yeah, just seeing the gradual steps up in the 3 years that the franchise has been alive at this point. Versus now it takes them 3 years minimum just to make a game, like one game. And now here we are on the third, and just the amount of polish that's already there and, you know, how much they do improve iteratively in the short time span.
Well, and you can also tell that, like, they know where they're going. Like, there's not, like, this weird, I guess not weird, but there's not this, like, openness that, like, is just filled with a bunch of nonsense that most of these, like, old newer games have. Like, this is just, like, here's the plot. Here's the, like, beginning, middle, end. Like,
right. There is very certified intent with the franchise. They're not just throwing shit out there. And, man, it feels good. It feels good.
It feels good. It feels so good.
I've been saying, like, you know, for the last few months that I've been having so much fun playing these old 360 games versus the new stuff that's coming out. And I try not to get jaded because there are fantastic games like Clair Obscur, Expedition 33, and Blueprints coming out. I've heard amazing things about Death Stranding, too. I've been meaning to jump into. So, you know, it's not to say that there aren't still good games coming out, but it's just, man, they ain't what they used to be.
Yeah, there's just a vibe and, like, a scope that I feel like that the old kind of school developers had, where it was just like, we know what things, like we know that everything has to be good for this game to, like, sell. Like, we almost has to look a movie. Like, we're gonna, it has to be optimized. Like, the story has to be, like, tight and not, like, just some nonsense, like, thrown together bullshit.
Right. It's just a solid experience all the way through.
They just wanted everything to feel good. Versus now, I feel like they just focus on, like, quantity over quality, and it's kind of annoying.
Exactly.
It's, and, like, again, look at all this stuff.
Well, I'm sure, you know, Ubisoft was well established back in 2010. You know, they'd been around for, like, 30 years at that point. But, you know, there was much less of a desire to appease stakeholders and keep the business running,
and more
the thing of, like, we want to make this, like, we have a cool idea that we want to make this quality product for people. And that soul of the franchise is still very intact here. And something that's, you know, a missed and sorely, you know, appreciated.
So, yeah, I do feel like that starts to go away. That feeling of, like, direction.
Yeah, exactly. But it's very much intact here. Again, like, we are both just avid lovers of Brotherhood and, you know, the franchise in general. But this is really where we're still at, just the peak of the franchise. And it's very clear here, and I cannot wait to experience more. I assume you're the same.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can't wait to see how pretty everything is. And, like, I don't know if this is, like, true or not, but, like, to me, it looked like they opened things up a little bit. Like the spacing just felt a little wider. Like, not crazy much, but, like, I felt like things were farther apart. Like, I, like, just had better scale, I guess, to it than I feel like the first game did.
Which
the first game just felt
true.
Tight to me. And I'm like, I don't know. It just felt more open, but it could just be because, like, it's running super smooth and it just, like, gives some weird illusion, but
potentially, if anybody knows anything about that, definitely feel free to
shout
out in the comments.
Yeah, leave a comment, or for sure, because I'm super curious.
Right. But I think that's about it for us. I think we'll get out of here for the week. Do you have any final comments, questions, concerns, whatnot, Lucas?
No, I do not.
All righty, then. Like I said, remember to answer the trivia question down in the comments below, whether you're on YouTube or over on Patreon, where we can all talk and have a good time. But once again, thank you very much for being here. Thank you to our Patreon subscribers, both paid and free. We love every single one of you. Oh, people over on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen.
Everywhere. Anywhere you're listening.
Content.
Yeah.
Yeah, we appreciate you guys. We're super excited to be back for season 3 proper. You know, we're glad we finally gotten this studio a lot more nailed down so we can, you know, help increase our quality for you guys.
Hopefully and give a lot less issues for you guys, like listening. And right. Yeah, and if you do happen to hear some issues that you think we should address, like, definitely leave a comment. We're always open for some of that criticism because, like, we don't know what the hell we're doing. We're kind of dumb.
Yeah, you know, we're playing this year by, you know, we're playing it by ear. We're doing a lot of this stuff for the first time. We're always, you know, trying to workshop and improve any way we can. So, yeah, definitely, if you've got any suggestions, let us know. We're, you know, again, we're constantly trying to improve and optimize this podcast to be the best it can be. And also, like I said, I mean, check out, we're going to have Arkham Radio fully launching this week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so be sure to check that out if you're interested in the Batman Arkham games, because there's some really cool stuff coming there as well.
Yeah, and it's Batman, so, like, come on.
It's Batman. You know, he's basically a modern-day assassin. And so, like I said, appreciate you guys. Thank you. We will see you guys next week for Sequence 2
of
Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. And remember, nothing is true.
Everything is permitted.
See you guys next week.